Broadcasting live from the Capital OTB studios, this is Racing Across America with Seth Merrow.
Good morning and welcome to Racing Across America on a big Saturday. Bluegrass, Woods, Santa Anita Derby will solidify things by this evening as far as what things are going to look like in a couple of weeks going into the first Saturday of May in Kentucky Derby. Should be a great day of racing, and we'll talk about it this morning with the guests. We caught a couple minutes yesterday with Richard Mandela, trainer of Forbidden Kingdom. That'll come up a little bit later on. Ellis Starr will join us from Keeneland. He'll give some thoughts on some of the Keeneland stakes, including the Bluegrass. But we're going to kick things off with our friend Jeremy Plonk, horseplayernow.com, Countdown to the Crown. And as we head into this last series of major preps, nobody better to reach out to than Jeremy Plonk. Jeremy, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Seth. You're like Superman. I just saw you in the stream on another show. Now you're flying. You changed in a phone booth, and now you're back with another one. So it's great to be with you. It's that time of year, though, right? I mean, you got to be Superman to handicap all these races.
I like that. Yeah, I think I'm more like Clark Kent than Superman, however. But I'll take it. I do want to remind people, Countdown to the Crown, you do a great job. I compliment you whenever you're on. Every Friday, the package comes out. People can go online and pick it up. You recap stakes action from the previous week, preview the stakes coming up. You have your top 20 that is now starting to solidify and become fun, yep. And we'll talk a little bit about that. But before we get into it, I always like to give you tee you up a little bit. Horseplayernow.com, anything people should be looking for?
Well, we've got our buzz report out for today. So myself, Terry Terrell in California, Jason Blewett, formerly with Naira and Gulfstream, taking care of the East. He's got the Aqueduct coverage for us this week. So the buzz report available from the three of us each week with Saturday action and a little Sunday bonus coverage in there each week as well because the fans asked for it. So we included last year some Sunday bonus spot plays as well. So be sure to check that out and support the group. And, we put a lot of hard work into it, so hopefully it pays off. Been pretty good the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, and again, highly recommended. People can swing by horseplayernow.com. You can also check out, as they say, Countdown to the Crown, which comes out every Friday. And let's jump in and go back to last week. We were lucky enough to be down at Gulfstream Live, our first road trip in a couple of years. A lot of fun, great weather, and great racing on the card as well. And we'll take a look at the stretch run to the Florida Derby. I'd love to have your opinions. I'm looking at your top 20. You've got White of Barrio sitting at 10 and Charge It sitting at 11. White of Barrio is going to be the number 7. I use Charge It. Charge It's going to be the number 6. I thought it was an okay run, third start of the career, raced a little greenly in the stretch. And I also thought the third by Simplification was okay for folks who may like Simplification. I don't know if I'd jump off the bandwagon of that one, but what were your thoughts coming out of the Florida Derby?
Well, I think Charge is the most exciting of those horses because you mentioned it was just his third start. There's a lot of upside there. With White of Barrio, we've kind of seen where he's at so far. Simplification, I think we have a really good line on. You know, he's run a lot, and he danced all four dances at Gulfstream Park. We're not sure what the style is for Simplification yet. You kind of, versatility is one thing, but his style has been like so different in his different races. You really don't know what kind of horse he would be in the Kentucky Derby, where they would place him. And so maybe the draw would be really important for a horse like Simplification. They came home slow. I mean, this was a race where it was almost 40 seconds for the last three furlongs. That is really, really slow. And you expect some horses to have been moving from the back of the pack. There just weren't. Four races at Gulfstream, White of Barrio, Simplification, won all four of them between the two of them. Nobody else just kind of stepped up. And it looks like, Sano, Sappy Joseph, two local year-round trainers in South Florida who had the best three-year-olds this year down there. That's hard for me to just accept that this Florida group is outstanding. I think they're solid. I think they're, consistent, obviously. But I don't think there's any top-end players, and that's why you're seeing a Florida Derby winner who also won, prep earlier in the season, the Holy Bull, White of Barrio, only checking in at number 10. That could change after today if some horses that we think are better don't run their races. But there's not just that first really great feeling about the Florida Derby this year. To me, I think it was subpar for its historical greatness. No race has produced more Kentucky Derby winners than the Florida Derby all time. So it is a high bar that you have to reach to become a good edition of the Florida Derby. I just don't think this year was.
And Charge It, I'm trying to think who it was. I read Sunday or Monday, somebody tweeted out, and I want to say it was a DRF writer, but I'm not going to get the credit right, so I won't say. But tweeted out, like to see Charge It maybe take the Peter Pan Belmont route and add a little seasoning. I can't necessarily disagree with that.
Yeah.
It seems like this is potentially a nice three-year-old as the season moves forward, and maybe a little more seasoning would be beneficial. And so Peter Pan and Belmont, I don't know what their game plan will be going forward, because when you have a live three-year-old, boy, that siren call of the Derby is awfully attractive. But it does seem like a little more seasoning in Charge, it's going to turn out to be a nice three-year-old.
Yeah, and far be it to me to criticize Luis Saez, who's one of the best riders in America, but he went right-handed twice. The first time the horse ducked into the left pretty well. He looked like he wanted to maybe shift the stick and go left-handed to keep it from happening again. He went right-handed a second time right before the finish line. I have no idea why, and that's why he ducked right in behind, you know, the tail end of White Abario. I think he could have made the finish a lot closer had he switched up and went left-handed, but maybe this horse doesn't respond to the left-handed stick. You know, there's things like that that we don't know on the outside, but that second right-hand stick from Luis Saez, I bet he'd like to have back.
Yeah, like I say, it was a little green down the stretch. That played into it, but he'll be one to watch going forward. Let's take a look also at last weekend's Arkansas Derby. I like Cyberknife. I had talked about the race last Saturday morning when we did our handicapping show from Gulfstream. We took a quick look, and I said the confidence builder they got down at the fairgrounds going into the race was attractive to me. I was rooting for Secret Oath. We'll watch the stretch run. Cyberknife's going to be the number 8 horse. Number 3, Barber Road, runs second. Number 6, Secret Oath, winds up third in here. And as I say, I thought Cyberknife was intriguing. I'm not sure I'm super excited going into the Derby, but this was a nice performance in the Arkansas Derby last week for Cyberknife. Your takeaway?
Well, I think the scheduling really gets a tip of the cap to Brad Cox in this case. You know, you mentioned the confidence builder at Fairgrounds. Why wasn't he in the Louisiana Derby? Well, Zozos was in the Louisiana Derby, running a good second there for Brad Cox. Zozos got his big confidence building win at Oaklawn with that dominant 10-12 length allowance win. So he took the Oaklawn allowance winner, sent him to Fairgrounds, made it to the Kentucky Derby. He took the Fairgrounds allowance winner, sent him to Oaklawn, and made the Kentucky Derby while winning the Arkansas Derby in the same swoop. So Brad Cox, in terms of scheduling this year, that is one of the better moves we've seen on the trail in a long time, because it kind of goes against common sense, right? You take the horse who won at Oaklawn, run him back at Oaklawn. The horse who won at Fairgrounds, run him back at Fairgrounds. Maybe the timing of the races with a little bit different, time before and after the race that these kind of horses may need might have influenced his decision in that respect. Either way, it worked out for him, and he also had a horse run second in the Jeff Ruby. So you go back to January, February, and you said, who is Brad Cox's horse? You know, after he had Essential Quality and so many good horses in recent years, he had nothing for the Kentucky Derby going into the 1st of February. He ends up with 3 in the starting gate if they're all healthy come the first Saturday in May. So they're all going to be, you know, price horses, even Cyberknife. I don't think this was a great Arkansas Derby win. You know, this was another one, 39 and change, 150 plus for the Arkansas Derby, second slowest in the last decade. And I went back and did a little data digging, and no horse who ran 150 or more to win the Arkansas Derby has gone on to win the Kentucky Derby. It's been a very influential prep, but when horses win the Arkansas Derby in a fast time, those tend to be the ones who are effective in Louisville. So Cyberknife probably up against it when they get to Kentucky, but give Brad Cox credit. He racked up a lot of purse money, and he got 3 horses into the Kentucky Derby with some pretty shifty scheduling.
Yeah, Al Gold, a New York-based owner, nice win picking up the grade one with Cyberknife. So regardless of what happens in a couple of weeks, you would have to think they'll be very happy with what has happened so far on the Derby trail with Cyberknife. I didn't pull up the replay, but I'd love an opinion on Tis the Bomb. Winning over the synthetic. I had Kenny McPeak on a month and a half, 2 months ago. They said this was going to be the game plan, going the Jeff Ruby stake. And then he said, you know, maybe over to Europe in the summertime. But coming out of the win last week in that stake at Turfway, looks like they're going to take a shot at the Derby. And again, the siren call of the Derby is very attractive. What are your thoughts on Tis the Bomb?
Look, Kenny, you know, he was born in Arkansas, but he's a native Kentuckian through and through, Lexington, Kentucky, University of Kentucky. He wants nothing more than to win the Kentucky Derby. The European Classics sound great, but when you've got a horse coming off a Derby prep win, you're in the field in Louisville, it's out of your home stall, and you're a Kentuckian. The other thing about Kenny McPeak, he's like the Dan Marino of trainers. You know, in 1995, his first Kentucky Derby, he finished second. He got to the Super Bowl. He almost won it. Dan Marino never got back to the Super Bowl, as they always say in his career. Kenny McPeak has been back to the Derby with long shots who really had no chance. He's been off the board in most of those. You know, he did have Harlan's Holiday in 2002, who was a contender. But for the most part, Kenny McPeak's first taste at the Super Bowl, he almost won it, and he hasn't been back since 1995 with a contender like this. I think, you know, he's got a couple. He's got Smile Happy as his main horse today, and we'll talk about him more. But for McPeak, it's about the Derby, I think, to accentuate his career. He's had success at Pimlico. He's had success at Belmont. The Derby's the one missing for sure.
Yeah, I mean, you got a live horse. I don't blame somebody for taking the shot. All right, let's talk about this afternoon. Let's kick things off with the Wood. I talked about this race on the handicapping show earlier, and I'm a fan of Morello. I thought the Gotham was impressive, but I think I could make a case for any of the top three in here. Morello, early voting, or Mold Donegal. Going to pull up a replay of the Withers. We're going to look at number nine, early voting, get it done. This was win number two and start number two for Potent Connections, Chad Brown, and Klarovich. As I say, I like Morello on top, but any of the top three are very capable in here. What are your thoughts on the Wood?
Well, I think it is just those top three, and I can't remember a year where I had Wood Memorial contenders 4 and 7 in my rankings this late. They've got some real high-end players this year, whereas in past years it was kind of horses who didn't quite make the cut in Florida. They come north. You know, you got maybe a Winter Warrior or two who were so okay but didn't really project as Derby-type horses. Both the winners you see right there from Aqueduct Early Voting and Morello that you talked about who won the Gotham are both really legitimate three-year-olds this year. And so this is the best Wood Memorial in some time. It'll need to be effective in the Kentucky Derby because, you know, it's been since 2003 with Funnyside and Empire Maker where the Woods really had a serious impact on the finish, especially on the win end in the Kentucky Derby. So that's almost 20 years now. And this group can be the kind that make a dent. I agree with you that Morello is the fastest and most brilliant of these three. I think that Mold Donegal and Early Voting may be better at a mile and an eighth, but there's nothing on the resume at all with Morello that makes you think that he's going to take a huge step back. He hasn't gone to two turns. There's a question mark with it. As a gambler, I'm against him just because he's 8-5 in the morning line. I don't know if that morning line – I'm not critical of morning line makers at all. I don't think there's any good business in being so. But I thought maybe that Early Voting would end up the favorite. Maybe that'll be the case. But for like Morello trying to do something for the first time, two turns, I just wouldn't want to take a short price to do it. He certainly could win it today. But like at 8-5 in the morning line, I don't think there's value in that horse. But if he were to go off 7-2 and be the third choice amongst those three, then there's great value in it. So it's a fine line whether you want to take a gamble on Morello today. As a scout like I am looking for horses for the Kentucky Derby, I can't wait to see him. He's one of the most exciting horses running today and the one with probably the biggest question mark in any of the three races. So if he answers that question, we've got another A-list player towards the Kentucky Derby. Early voting, I think, you know, with already the mile and an eighth win in tow, he comes in fresh. You know, they skipped the Gotham, not wanting to cut back from two turns to one and then go two again here this afternoon. I think he's lined up nicely. I like the way the schedule worked out for him. So I'm on Early Voting today, but Morello could certainly win. Mold Donegal may not be quite as good as some of the other three-year-olds, but he seems pretty honest and the kind who's going to run all day. He could run third or fourth in just about any race they put him in, it seems like. So, you know, he's a factor today if the other two don't have their A game. But if either one of those, I think if Early Voting or Morello run their best, I don't think Mold Donegal can beat those two if they run their best.
I'm with you. I said it on the handicapping show earlier. As they step into the gate, I'm going to be really interested to see where the odds shake out. David Aragona does a great job, and he's got Morello at 8-5, Mold Donegal in early voting at 5-2. But to me, they're really evenly matched, and I'm going to be interested to see where the betting public goes in that race. All right, let's shift our attention to the Bluegrass. I said it earlier. I'm taking a pop. I'm taking a crazy little pop in here with Volcanic. I thought the first time around two turns in the Sam Davis was one to build on. He probably has to move forward. But at 20-1, I'm willing to roll the dice a little bit. But, I mean, obviously the horse is going to have to step it up with Zandon and Smile Happy in here. I pulled up a replay of the Risen Star Epicenter, the leader in the clubhouse at this point, the number five horse. Smile Happy is going to be the number eight. Zandon's going to be the number seven. Smile Happy and Zandon are up in this afternoon in the Bluegrass. As I say, I'm rolling the dice with Volcanic. What are your thoughts in the Bluegrass?
Well, the race you're showing right now, to me, has been the best race we've seen so far on the Triple Crown Trail. The Risen Star, it was an even better performance, I think, than the Louisiana Derby. The winner ran better in the Louisiana Derby Epicenter, and it's hard to believe he ran better than he did in this particular race, as easy as he's winning. But I think he did in laying off the pace and finishing up. But the horses behind him, the quality of this race, I think, was even better than the Louisiana Derby was as a final on the trail down there at Fairgrounds. So I think it's a very live, very key race. I think that the advantage that day was all with Epicenter, against Zandon and Smile Happy, because Epicenter had run in the Gun Runner, he'd run in the LeCompte, he had been into his form cycle more. The other two were kind of coming off of breaks, and this is their first start back. They were on the road. The winner, Epicenter, was running out of his home stall. He had the advantage that day. If they get a rematch in the Kentucky Derby, maybe things balance out a little bit more as the form cycles shift and improve for the other horses who are in the Bluegrass today. So I really like Smile Happy. I've been blown away by this horse since he won his debut at Keeneland last year. He was just the second horse to win routing in a debut at Keeneland on the dirt in the fall. You know, and they've gone back to dirt back in 2014. So it had been 8 years and no horse had debuted except one who won going around two turns. And a breathtaking move that he made on the turn, as Kurt Becker called it, and then finished up. I've been on Smile Happy's camp for a long time. And it's not just, you know, hey, I called him first, so I'm going to stay with him kind of thing like that. I just really think he's a truly talented horse. I think Kenny made the right move. A two-prep campaign, because he won the Kentucky Jockey Club late last year, so he had proven his mettle. Two-prep campaign this year. The race at Fairgrounds was good for him. As you saw, he was finishing up on the end there. And now it's back to Keeneland, where he ran such a sensational debut. It makes a lot of sense. He gets to stay in Kentucky longer, go back to his home stall in Louisville after the race, and prepare towards the Derby. I really think this race runs through Smile Happy. I know he's a favorite. I don't like to pick the chalk all the time, but I just think he's too good. Now, I'm a gambler, so when I have a favorite that I like, if it's a short field, I'm kind of, you know, up against it. But in a deep field, now I'm into the exotics even with a favorite, because you can still get a good return taking a favorite on top in the exotics if you've got a nice price and there's enough field size to create some losers. You can't do that in 5-6 horse fields, but in this big field in the Bluegrass with 12, and I do have a long shot I like, Grantham. You saw him in that race at Aqueduct in the Withers that you showed there. You know, he's gone on to run a good one down at in Louisiana last time, or in Tampa, I should say. And Grantham is a horse who's going to be near the pace. He's on the outside here going the mile and an eighth. He's going to be used at the beginning, but there's not much speed in this year's Bluegrass. I think Emmanuel for Pletcher's the clear early speed in here with Luis Saez. And then you got Tyler Gaffleone on the outside with Grantham, who I think is going to break hard to clear some horses. And that should make him draft right over in the second. I think he's going to be forwardly placed in here, and I think he's an honest horse who just kind of, like Mo Donegal, he could run third or fourth in just about any race. He's going to keep hammering out there one paced on the front, and I think, you know, I think he's going to sit second in here behind Emmanuel, and that could just be a fabulous chip. So Grantham is my price horse. The great thing about this is there's not a ton of early pace in this year's Bluegrass, but the pace that you do have, Luis Saez is riding the 6, Emmanuel. Tyler Gaffleone's riding the 12. No two jockeys won more races last year at Keeneland than those two. Gaffleone won 40. Saez won 30. Saez won at 30%. So you could argue which one was the more effective jockey. But there's no question the two best jockeys at Keeneland in 2021 during the two meets were Saez and Gaffleone. And they had the two controlling horses in the Bluegrass. So the best riders with the pace advantage, one of those two is going to hang around, I think, for the exotics. I think Smile Happy wins it. Grantham's going to be a much better price than Emmanuel. So for me, Grantham is kind of the way I've got to bomb this race out. You took a shot with Volcanic, and we're kind of like looking for the same thing, right? We're looking to shake it up a little bit. I don't think we can beat the favorite in here, so I'm going to use Grantham underneath. So for me, it's exactas with Grantham in second. It's trifectas with Smile Happy, a bunch of contenders in second, and Grantham in third. So if I can get that 20, 25 to one shot to run second or third behind the favorite, I can get a nice cash out of this year's Bluegrass, and that's how I'm going to attack the race. But I'll tell you what, Emmanuel, his stock moves up. If you saw yesterday's race, the Ashland Nest ran off the screen for Todd Pletcher, and these barns tend to do that, especially at boutique meets like Keeneland. When they're on, they're really on. All their horses are firing. And as good as Nest looked yesterday winning the Ashland, I think you got to move Emmanuel up a little bit in your consideration, just thinking that the Pletcher horses are dialed in, ready for this coming north. I think Emmanuel's going to be tough today, too.
And mentioning Keeneland, and you mentioned stats and whatnot, folks can find your selections on the Keeneland website, correct?
Yeah, Keeneland.com in the public selectors box, and then also in the blog section there with the expert analysis, they call it. I give a race-by-race statistical analysis, and 28 straight meets, Seth, doing that for Keeneland going back 14 years to 2008. So I joke that we've gone through four presidents, and Billy Gillespie was the coach of the Kentucky Wildcats when I started writing that blog. That probably made Kentucky fans like kind of turn their stomach because the Billy Gillespie years were not good in Lexington.
Yeah, and Kentucky fans are already, given what happened a few weeks ago, that they're already a little upset. So,
yeah, I don't need to jab them anymore. That probably wasn't nice.
The control room like that. Finally, let's take a look at the Santa Anita Derby. And, you know, it's which of the two horses do you like? I pulled up the replay of the Bob Lewis. It's going to be number one, Messier, who I'm rooting for because I took a little pop in the last future pool with all others.
Ooh.
So I'm going to grab a little Messier in that mix. But Messier looking pretty good here. But Forbidden Kingdom for Dick Mandela comes in off the two big wins so far this year. But what do you think of the Santa Anita Derby?
Well, you got two blowout winners, right? I mean, something's got to give here. It's not a first-time showdown between these two, though. They ran at Del Mar against each other last year in the Bob Hope, where it was extremely fast on the front end, 43 and change for Forbidden Kingdom, where he couldn't settle that day sprinting, and Messier went by him. Do you get the same kind of race dynamics at a mile and an eighth that you got in the sprint race at the Bob Hope? Probably not. So it's apples and oranges probably to say, well, Messier beat him at seven. He'll definitely beat him at a mile and an eighth. They're both different horses now. I think they're both better horses now off of what their last races showed. This is just one of those great clashes. I mean, honestly, I don't know which way it turns out here. It's not a great gamble of a race. I think the way to kind of bet this race is to use one of the two in multi-race wagers around the Santa Anita Derby, pick three, something like that, a daily double coming in or out of the race. I think they're going to split the tote very evenly. The morning line's even money in 6-5, and I think they could both go lower than that if that doesn't sound crazy. But I could honestly see them like at 3-5 and even money, something like that. They're just going to take all the money in there. You know, you've got Table, who's got the big buyer speed figure in the debut. My buddy Eddie Olchek picked Table to pull the upset. I like Eddie. I don't know if he took an extra stick to the head in trying to pick against one of these two horses, but Eddie's a great friend of mine. He's taking Table, and good luck to him. But I just think between these two stars who dominated in the Lewis and the San Felipe, one of the two wins. But I think a lot of people will split their tickets. So if you're gambling on the race, I don't think either intra-race offers any value. Like, if you're going to beat Messier, you want more than 6-5 to do it. And if you're going to beat Forbidden Kingdom, you want more than even money to do it. So I think you take one of the two, make a stance, and then play a double in or out of this race to something you like in a race around it. And now you might turn that even money shot into, you know, maybe this horse gives you closer to 2-1 in a daily double when you just take one of them and eliminate the other and all the potential losing tickets that go down with those people who backed both horses. So the value in the Santa Anita Derby, I think, is in the rolling doubles and taking just one of the horses and taking a stance. For me, it's Messier, but there's not a huge confidence play there that I think he's superior to Forbidden Kingdom. Could go either way.
And just quickly before we let you go, again, I'm looking at your top 20. You have Epicenter on top. I think he's on top of virtually everybody's list and currently the favorite for the Derby. Is it possible, does anybody supplant them today, A, on your list, but B, in the minds of the general public?
Yes. I mean, I think if one of the horses in Southern California stomps the other like they did in their most recent start, if you see an 8-10 length victory in the Santa Anita Derby, I think you found your favorite. I also think Smile Happy could end up being the Kentucky Derby favorite with a big win in the Bluegrass. I really believe that. He's got a fun name that people are going to like in the wind pool for the Kentucky Derby. That's a factor. I mean, we really know that when it comes to the wind pool. And he's going to have a lot of hype behind him. You're going to have Mattress Mack betting out on him, you know, which can impact the pool. And so if Smile Happy wins today, I kind of think he could be the Kentucky Derby favorite for a couple of those other reasons that aren't necessarily racetrack related, but they are tote related. And I think they will have a factor in the Derby. So Epicenter's the favorite right now, but that could change.
Jeremy, always a fun conversation. Again, I will tell people to swing by horseplayernow.com just for everyday kind of racing thoughts and needs, but Countdown to the Crown for the three-year-old and the Triple Crown season. Always great information there. Great information this morning. I know you have a radio gig coming up, so we'll cut you loose, but we appreciate the conversation. We'll talk again.
All right, I'm off to talk to Dave Johnson, which is always fun.
Yeah, very good. Dave and Bill do a great job on the radio side of things. Jeremy, appreciate it. Have a good day.
Take care, guys.
All right, we will take a break because I have Ellis Star scheduled at the bottom of the hour, so the timing is working out perfectly. Don't forget, a little bit later on, again, we have a few minutes with Richard Mandela. We'll plug that in towards the end of the program. Talking a little bit about Forbidden Kingdom. He has a couple other horses on the card today. And he had a nice three-year-old turf stakes winner last week. We caught up with what the plans are going forward for that one as well. But up next, Ellis Starr, National Racing Analyst for Equibase, but this time of year based down at Keeneland. We'll catch up with him and talk a little Keeneland and get some Wood thoughts as well right after this. Stay tuned.
No matter where in the world you are, the excitement of wagering on horse racing is just a click away. You'll get live streaming, past performances, race replays, our virtual tote board, analysis and selections from professional handicappers, a simple, safe, and secure wagering platform, and best of all, you get track prices. CapitalOTBBet.com. Bet any place, anytime at CapitalOTBBet.com. And be sure to download our new mobile app from the iTunes Store or Google Play.
Capital OTB is now streaming live on Roku. The RTN Racing Channel on Roku lets you watch OTB TV live through your Roku device or your Amazon Fire Stick, rather than being limited to computers and mobile devices, which means you can now watch OTB live wherever you are. Simply open Roku, scroll to find the RTN channel, then click on OTB TV. OTB TV on Roku. Try it now.
Got it. Watch me. I got it. Hey! I got something that makes me want to shout. I got something that tells me what it's all about. I got a move that tells me what to do. If you don't, brothers and sisters, then you won't know what it's all about.
Welcome back to Racing Across America. As promised before the break, we are joined now by our friend Ellis Starr. Second day of the Keeneland meet, and we are live from Keeneland as Ellis is in the press box. Ellis, good morning.
Good morning, Seth. Good morning, racing fans. Welcome to Bluegrass Day, Wood Memorial Day, and San Diego Derby Day.
And I should, you know, you're in the press box, and I should tout that also if people swing by the Keeneland website, they can find selections from you on racing days, correct?
Yep, I do a race of the day analysis today. It's the Madison, which we'll be covering. I also do something for the Keeneland website for their ADW, but you can find it just by following me on Twitter. I think that's the Commonwealth. Maybe it's backwards, but I can't remember. And the Bluegrass is also our Echo Base race of the week. So yeah, try and cover as much Keeneland as possible since I'm here, and it's just a lot of fun. A tremendous day yesterday in spite of sleet. They call it grapple rain. But the turf course stayed fair. Beautiful performance for those that saw, by the way, of Nest in the Central Bank Ashland. Oh, my gosh. Makes the Oaks just so much more fun to think about.
And I was going to mention Nest and the Oaks because I've been saying now for a couple of weeks, I think the last two sets of preps for the Derby have defined the three-year-old males a little more. But really, the last month or so on the three-year-old filly side, it's shaping up to be an incredible weekend, Oaks and Derby, with the three-year-old fillies and the three-year-old males. And Nest tossed her hat in the ring yesterday.
Yeah, the fillies have really checked their boxes between Nest and Echo Zulu and Kathleen O. My gosh, they just keep checking their boxes off, and it's going to be great. I mean, she was powerful. I will note that the horse that ran on from last to second, as I say that now, by the way, it's snowing. I'd love to show your folks here if you can see out the window. Welcome to Kentucky in the spring. There's a word for this weather. We call it the spring of deception. And the horse that ran second, who's named Cocktail Moments, Kenny McPhee. Boy, he might have two in the Derby if Smile Happy runs well. And because 'tis the bomb's running, and now he might have his Cocktail Moments as a potential live long shot to hit the board in the Oaks.
All right, let's get into Keeneland on Saturday, the first Saturday of the spring meet. That means bluegrass, and let's kick right off with the bluegrass grade one event. $1 million up for. Oh, and I should say, our handicapping show this morning, you know, $1 million kind of triggered. Obviously, that's a lot of money. But I should also note, on our handicapping show this morning, we were looking at the Keeneland card, and this is incredible. You know, having been in the game as long as I have, first race, maiden specials going for $100,000. Second race, maiden specials going for $100,000. The third race, first level allowance, $110,000. Man, it's a different world from when I first got into the game.
Yeah, no, it is a different world. Keeneland has been lucky. Have been to the tracks at Kentucky with the revenue from historical horse racing, which has just fueled the purses and great stake sponsors, the Kentucky Thoroughbred Development Fund. And, you know, I'm not one that either loves or really hates politicians, but our politicians did a great job of really funding this industry, which they know leads to so much tourism. And the cards, I mean, you know, we've been complaining lately during the winter, you know, about fields, but 12, 12, 12, yeah. 12, 12. So, if you like races that are wide open, you got it today at Keeneland.
Field of 12 in the bluegrass. And I'm going to pull up because I mentioned it a couple times already this morning. I'm taking a pop in the bluegrass. So I had to show the Sam F. Davis. I like Volcanic. Volcanic is going to be the number 10 horse here, who kind of makes a little move and gets up to second and then gets passed late by Shipsational. Classic Causeway is the winner here, but again, number 10 is Volcanic. This was the first time around two turns, and I thought it was good on that factor. The horse comes up a little short. You can see Volcanic there in the purple cap, makes a little late run, and then just comes up a little short. But again, I think this horse will build off that. The subsequent workouts are okay. So I'm rolling the dice a little bit with Volcanic, but I have the Logicals in the mix, Smile Happy and Zandon Emmanuel as well. What are your thoughts on the bluegrass?
Yeah, I didn't get creative here, Seth. You know, at this time of year, they're kind of proving themselves, and I need to see improvements in speed figures. Now, on the positive note, your pick Volcanic did do that. He went from a 94 in his maiden to 97 in the Sam Davis, and certainly is on the improve. But I just like the fact that the race that Zandon and Smile Happy come out of, Epicenter, I mean, he's the leader right now in points. He showed his ability to rate in the race, and I think these two second race of the year is the better race. And if you kind of just extrapolate their improvement, what should happen here versus others, some making their third, fourth starts of the year, I think they look really good here. Now, from a betting perspective, unfortunately, you got 5-2 and 2-1, 9-5. It's going to be like yesterday where the favorites ran first and third. I don't think much else, but for the exotics, there's lots of ways to go, and I think that's where it's really cool because I like Ethereal Road at 20-1 to get in. I mean, I love horses that made the lead and then faded. He's way behind in figures, but You know, Barber Road came back to run really well, and Thurl Road beat Barber Road by a nose. So I think at 20-1, you've got to use a horse in the exotics. I also think Fenwick at 20-1 is interesting. I mean, this was a John Oxley from, I think, the Dispersal in low-profile barn, or whatever happened when he changed to this new trainer, Kevin McCaffin, and got Blinkers and got Paco. He got really brave on the lead there. And I just think it's very interesting. He gets the inside. He could go and play Come Catch Me here because there's really not any elite type. So he could hang on for second and third. So personally, Andy, my bets are more about the trifectas, which is going to be the 4 and the 10, Smile, Happy, and Zandon, putting Fenwick in Ethereal Road in second and third with probably all in the other position and try and get a decent try out of a chalky win.
Sounds good. And just talking to people, I think everybody's looking in a similar fashion that this is a competitive race with a 12-horse field where search around for some of the exotics because there may be a nice little payout in here with potentially some prices coming into the mix. All right, let's go a little bit earlier. Race number 8 on Saturday afternoon is the Shakertown. Again, another nice full field, another nice full competitive field. And in here, I pulled up a replay going back to the San Simeon at Santa Anita. And we're going to look at number 3, Barraza. Get it done in here. Barraza ships to Keeneland from Santa Anita, where the horse is typically based for Vladimir Siren. But boy, as I say, a nice full field in here. Diamond Oops, Cowan, and most notably, Golden Pal for Wesley Ward. What are your thoughts in the Shakertown?
Yeah, you know, Mike Battaglia makes the morning line here, and I don't think I think he's going to get corrected on Barraza at 6-1, I believe, morning line. These 5.5s on the grass are phenomenal. We had 2 yesterday, I think, or at least 1 the last, and that ended up kind of chalky, but they're just fantastic races. And if Barraza can run, it's funny that he ran his first 9 races on dirt or on turf going long, when they put him going short, he's 4-for-4 now. boy, they found his forte, this whole card, and he's just moved up and up. And, you know, Golden Pal is fast. There's no question. Anybody that goes with him is just committed pace suicide. And if you let him alone, you may have just given him the race because he's in front by a length when he won the Woodford Stakes last fall. I mean, that was it. 2 strides out. He's already in front by half a length. He's going to be tough, but I'll take Barraza on top. Golden Pal is going to be right with him. And I'm throwing in the Learjet in the exotics mostly for second and third because he was fairly impressive last summer at Kentucky Downs. He won his U.S. debut in the Franklin Simpson, and he rallied pretty well. And that's tough. And that was closing into 45 on that track, which goes up and down. Golden Pal is, you know, he can run sub 44. So, but Barraza, I think if we get anywhere near, I think about 2-1, I mean, I just love him in this race.
Yeah, it is going to be interesting to see how the odds shake out off of that 4-race win streak. Now, Golden Pal is going to take a lot of action, but I think you're right that the 6-1 may be a little bit generous. I'm hoping for maybe a little more than 2-1 there, but we shall see. In the Madison Grade 1 event, $500,000 up for grabs, fillies and mares sprinting 7 furlongs. And I pulled up a replay. We are going to take a look at the inside information from Gulfstream Park at the end of January. Just One Time is going to be the number 8 horse here. Just One Time off of that victory ran the career record to 5 wins in 6 starts. Bells the One has been an interesting player in this division. You know, the fillies and mares sprinting for a while now, so that one's a player. Four Graces, who runs second in this race here, has subsequently run third in the Hurricane Birdie, but comes back on Saturday afternoon. Kamari for Wesley Ward, another fun and intriguing field. Your thoughts in the Madison?
Wow, this is a great race. You know, yesterday we had the male division, the Lafayette, which is not graded, but it had a $400,000 purse, and a horse shipped in from Delta and just creamed them. I mean, just wired the field with Tommy Bombell, a veteran jock. It was fun to watch that. In this race, you have too much speed. Tis Splendid News on the outside. You look at his first call. Anybody looking in the program will see. All you see is ones. I mean, it's a picket fence. Just 1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1 all the way when he wins and all those ones first. And center aisle for Paulo Lobo coming back off of freshening since December. didn't make the lead at the Circus World, still won it, but was only a neck back. The other two were wire-to-wire wins since moving from Chad Brown's barn, which, you know, you wouldn't really think. I mean, Lope was a good trainer, but moving a horse off Brown, up off Chad Brown, something else. Lady Rocket has had the lead of the second call in three of her last four. I mean, it's just tough. Just one time, as you said, I kind of kidded in my blog. I said, how many times as a gambler have you screamed that at the TV? just one time. Give me the just really the New Dimension shone last out when before that she was really a stalker. And now she came from back. Flavian Pratt's got to get his feet wet. And now he's moved his tack to here and then to New York. Didn't get any wins yesterday that I recall. Maybe one. But certainly going to get used to these horses. Kamari, last year's winner, in top form, coming off a win off a four-month layoff at Gulfstream. So she's ready for her best. I mean, she doesn't run that often. 12 times in her career, but 7 for 12, 2 for 2 at Keeneland. Bell's the one, as you mentioned, 11 for 22, always shows up. Fantastic horse. I would be remiss if I didn't mention Club Car, maybe at least for second. She's got 10 seconds and 5 wins, so she likes to run second. Scylla at huge odds on the inside. Now, Scylla's trained by Brent Brinkman, and I wasn't looking that much at her until I saw that race yesterday from the horse I can't remember that won the Lafayette. And that was Brent Brinkman shipping up from Delta. So I think anybody would be remiss leaving a horse like this who's 7 for 14 out. This guy's really good. He went 27% of his races last year, mostly in Louisiana. So I would still, I'm going to bet just one time probably as a win contender, and then I'm going to mess around with the exotics. Definitely going to use Scylla. Bell's the one, Kamari, and Club Car probably in second. It's going to be as good a race as the Bluegrass.
Yeah, Brinkman has won earlier on the card, and I forget which race it was, that won at Delta, a 10-horse field won by 23 lengths going 7 furlongs, and the horse was on the morning line. The horse offered some value, so it'd be interesting to see what this Brinkman can do with these Delta shippers after what he did with the runner yesterday. All right, let's move on to the Wood Memorial and get some of your thoughts there. I mentioned earlier I'm tilting towards Morello, but I think you can make a similar case for any of the top three in here. Early voting and Mo Donegal as well, but I'm going to pull up the Gotham. I just thought the Gotham win was so impressive. Morello is going to be the number 9 horse, getting it done. Chart margin 4.5 lengths to run the record to 3 for 3. So I'm tilting in that direction. What are your thoughts in the Wood?
Well, it's interesting because the cross-country pick 5, which is a great bet today, includes the Wood and the Gazelle. And I was trying to figure out where I want to single. Do I want to single Morello? Do I want to single Venti Valentine? I went with the latter because even though Morello has been powerful, a lot of horses, I think, in the Wood are their connections are willing to win the battle and try and regroup for the war. It may be tough to come back physically after a hard effort here. I really think there's a lot of value in Sappy Joseph's pair here of AP Secret and Skippy Longstocking. I want Skippy Longstocking as my top pick. You know, he's the most heavily raced horse in the field with 8 starts. But that last race, first it was 9 furlongs, and you won't see many 9 furlong races on anybody's dance card here except early voting this year, and then of course Mo Donegal last year in the Remsen. But that race was just thinking about the light bulb going off for a proving 3-year-old. That was the race, you know. Junior Alvarado's back in New York riding. The 100 Echo Bay speed figure, believe it or not, is higher than Morello's 96 from the Gotham. So at 15-1, I got to take a shot with him. Barisi is on an improving pattern. AP Secret, as I mentioned, you know, in the Fountain of Youth, he's one of the horses that got impacted with that incident where a couple went down. You can draw a line through it. If that race before that, that non-1-1 allowance, was his last race with a 98 figure and a nice win, he wouldn't be 20-1 morning line. So it's right that he will be because the morning line is based on what the public's going to think. But still, I think he's got some value. Again, no knocks on Morello. I'm also taking a look at long-term for the exotics. You got a horse that's 4 seconds, trained by Fletcher, a Curlin, and the Curlin yesterday nest, another Curlin. You can't leave the long-term out of your exotics. But I think my win bets and my key is going to be Skippy Longstocking, believe it or not.
Very good. And you mentioned the Gazelle. I was going back and forth. I used Classic Edition over Venti Valentine. I like the second place finish to the Kathleen O in the seasonal debut, so I went in that direction. But you're going to land on Venti Valentine as a single in there. And it's notable, I mentioned it earlier, a couple of New York breds. It's nice to see the two New York breds getting this kind of action in a nice graded stakes race.
Absolutely. No, and I could have gone deeper. I had four on my sheet, and I just had to, you know, as a bettor, you got to make a choice with a pick five to single somewhere, and it's got to be one or the other. I might regret that decision, but.
Well, Ellis, we always appreciate the conversation. Good luck this afternoon. Again, folks can find your selections. Hey, National Racing Analyst for Equibase. They can find your selections on the Keeneland website, though, throughout the Keeneland meet. And we will check in again before the Keeneland meet ends.
I look forward to it. It's going to be a great day. We're going to get a lot of, you know, opinions after these three. What's going on? Plus, also the future wager cuts off before any of them start. So you've got an opinion. You're going to get locked in odds. At least not have them affected by whatever happens in the preps.
Yeah, which I think was a great move, a smart move this close to the actual Derby. Ellis, appreciate it. Good luck this afternoon.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Ellis Starr, again, National Racing Analyst for Equibase. And as I say, you can find his selection throughout the Keeneland meet. They do a great job. There's a number of handicappers on the Keeneland website, so you can get a number of different opinions. Let's take a break. When we come back, as promised earlier, we have a little piece from Richard Mandela. I'll come back and introduce that, though. So we'll take a break. We'll come back and get some thoughts on the Santa Anita Derby. Stay tuned. Having trouble finding us? It's actually quite simple. Whether online or on your TV, it's never been easier to watch and wager on championship horse racing with Capital OTB. Simply log on to CapitalOTBBet.com. There you can watch our morning shows, live stream races, and wager on our state-of-the-art wagering platform. You can also watch from the comfort of your home on Spectrum Cable Channel 1250 or Fios Channel 467. And win more with Capital OTB.
Come on.
I want sales reports on my desk by Monday.
Oops. My bad.
Love racing? RTN brings you every live simulcast on your home television, plus live video streaming and race replays on your PC and mobile devices. To order, visit RTN.tv. RTN, a breed apart.
Bridgestone is an outside front. They're coming down to the finish. Can Smarty Jones hold on? Here comes Bridgestone. Bridgestone surges past. Bridgestone wins the Belmont Stakes.
Welcome back to Racing Across America. We caught up with Richard Mandela yesterday, and there were some technical difficulties, so we just kind of pulled together some of the highlights from it, but you get the idea here, because talked to him about Forbidden Kingdom, who has looked so good so far this year, goes this afternoon in the Santa Anita Derby, started the season with the win in the San Vicente, and then stretched out last time in the San Felipe. And so we talked to Richard Mandela about, you know, the question marks, trying two turns for the first time with Forbidden Kingdom. He also has in today's Santa Anita Oaks a horse called MicroShare coming off a big win in prep or in as the prior start leading into the Santa Anita Oaks. So we talked about MicroShare as well. Tapwater is another runner he has on the card in a stakes race to Monrovia earlier in the card at Santa Anita. So we hit on Forbidden Kingdom, MicroShare, and Tapwater. But we also talked a little bit about Sumter. Yeah, everybody knows I love the three-year-olds on the turf, and Sumter last week at Santa Anita won a three-year-old turf stakes race. So we caught up with where... You know, what the feeling was coming out of that stake last week at Santa Anita with Sumter and what might be next. And we got filled in on what might be the next start for Sumter off the win last weekend at Santa Anita. So up next, trainer Richard Mandela.
And it's Forbidden Kingdom still with a commanding lead. Doppelganger will try to catch him in the final quarter of a mile. Cabo Spirit racing on the outside of Happy Jack. They turn for home. And Forbidden Kingdom still strong on the front end. A seven-length advantage. Doppelganger is clearly second. But it is Forbidden Kingdom. A stellar display. Six-length lead past the 16th pole. And what a performance from Forbidden Kingdom under Juan Hernandez in the San Felipe. They win by more than five. Doppelganger second. Happy Jack was third. Beautiful Art finish fourth.
Talk about coming out of the San Vicente and moving into the San Felipe and the move to two turns, what your concerns were and what was your takeaway from this performance going around two turns in the San Felipe?
Just that he was able to go fast and keep going, is, I thought it was pretty impressive.
Did you have concerns about the two turns as you stretched them out?
Well, sure. We've always had a little concern about whether he'd do it or not, but you always have that with a horse with as fast as he is. But he's answering the questions pretty well.
He certainly is. And it's another 16th of a mile on Saturday. What are your concerns Saturday afternoon?
You know, there's other speed in there. But he likes what he's doing and the way he does it. We're going to go about it the same way and just kind of see how it goes after they leave the gate. We can't make too big of plans.
Again, it seemed like a nice improvement from that two-year-old to that three-year-old season. The last two races, very impressive. I'm always curious, though, when you got him in the barn, clearly the last two races, he's something special. Could you see he was something special when you got him in the barn?
He was a beautiful colt right off the bat, and showed us natural talent, quick, because he's so fast. So then it was just a matter of, then the question was, are we going to be able to ration the speed that he's got? And so it's kind of a natural process.
Won his career debut. That's always impressive. And the second career start, you moved to the grass. What was the thought process to try the turf?
It's a race that came up, and I thought with his breeding that he'd appreciate it. And I don't think that really was the case. He got stepped on and in the race and tore a quarter off of his foot. So we had to heal that up.
Owned in part by My Racehorse, I'm curious, do you get a good turnout from the ownership group of the My Racehorse people for the last couple of starts?
Yeah, there's a lot of them that own parts of him, but the management is top class, and they do a great job of controlling things.
Talk a little bit about that, the big number of owners. Does that make it a little more fun?
When you win.
Good answer. Very good answer. In the Santa Anita Oaks, the cleverly named MicroShare, because MicroShare also owned in part by the My Racehorse people.
And here's MicroShare pouncing at the quarter pole, taking command, and MicroShare is gone. MicroShare opens up two. Brocade back to second, followed by Sweet Talked in third, and then Chloe's Girl. MicroShare opening up with every stride. It's a five-length lead past the 16th pole. And MicroShare will make short work of the competition, geared down, cruising to victory. MicroShare, a 4.5-length winner.
What was your takeaway from this maiden breaker, and what do you expect on Saturday in the Santa Anita Oaks from MicroShare?
Well, it's an experiment. She won her maiden race pretty easily, I thought, and deserves a chance to step up and just see how good she is.
Again, we're watching the maiden breaking performance here. Another horse that had a little bit of a break, a couple of months off, and came back and won nicely. So she goes in the Santa Anita Oaks. A little earlier on the card in the Monrovia, you have Tapwater. A couple starts back, a good second at the trip in the Las Cienegas. Followed it up in the Wishing Well with a fifth place finish. But what are your thoughts in Saturday afternoon's opener, the Monrovia, for Tapwater?
And Mare's doing very well. And she ran a good race down the hill, and I think that's going to be I think that's what makes it interesting, is she liked that course.
They come to the top of the stretch in the Singletary Stakes. Sumter is there. Durante is second. Balnikoff is on the inside. Handy Dandy is on the outside. Sumter and Balnikoff. It's Sumter, Balnikoff. Sumter and Balnikoff and Handy Dandy. Sumter, Balnikoff, Handy Dandy. Three of them hit the wire right together in a thriller. Returning to the Run Happy winner's circle, it is three wins in a row for Sumter. The three-year-old Warfront colt out of A Little Bit Sassy. Bred in Kentucky by Bass Stables, owned by Perry R. Bass II or Ramona S. Bass. Richard Mandela, the winning trainer, and Mike Smith aboard for the thrilling victory in the Singletary, timed in 1 minute 34 and 65 one-hundredths.
Talk about Sumter on the grass and this win last weekend in the Singletary.
Yeah, I think he just continues to improve and grow up, and very happy with him.
And what's going to be the game plan moving forward with that one off of this nice win last weekend?
We're going to look at the race on Derby Day, the mile and eighth turf. I forget what they call it, but it's a $500,000 purse.
As I always say, I like those three-year-olds on the turf because there's nice stakes races really across the country all year long. So Sumter showing up maybe Derby weekend at Churchill off the win last week at Santa Anita. But this afternoon we'll see if Mandela has something headed for the big race on Derby weekend, Forbidden Kingdom, in the Santa Anita Derby this afternoon. So we wish him good luck, and thanks for taking the time today. And again, we had to slice and dice the interview a little bit, but you got some of the highlights there. All right, I'm going to wrap it up for this edition of Racing Across America. Do want to remind you, again, in honor of the Masters, we have the pick and putt here today and tomorrow at the Clubhouse Racebook. We have a little putting green out there. Put your name in the hat. Folks will be randomly selected to putt for the dough here at the Clubhouse Racebook this afternoon and tomorrow, 711 Central Avenue in Albany. Don't forget the Racebook today, open until 9 p.m. because of the Santa Anita Derby card. So if you want to come down and enjoy all of that Santa Anita action at the Racebook, you can do so until 9 o'clock tonight. Keep that in mind. Also, there's a Winabet contest online. Keep that in mind. Great way to maybe pick up a little extra cash. And I mentioned it earlier. I will mention it again. Always keep up with the promotions and events. You can go to capitalotb.com, pull up the, you can pick it up at the Racebook, the calendar that lists all the promotions and events, but you can find it on the website as well, capitalotb.com. Click on the promotions link. And I mentioned it because yesterday with the Pick Four promotion, opening day at Keeneland, we had a bankroll that played the early Pick Four and the late Pick Four, $3,100 when all was said and done. And I had put together the tickets, and I was sitting in here rooting. And in the last leg of the early Pick Four, the two finishers, we were either going to get $3,000 or $10,000. I was rooting for the $10,000. But we just got edged out. So it was a little bit of a tough beat because the 10K would have been nice. But still, wound up with $3,100 for the bankroll team. So everybody wound up with over $300 each of free money, courtesy of Capital OTB. So again, always pays to keep up with the promos and events here at Capital OTB. And don't forget that new member sign-up bonus as well. With the rules and restrictions, check out the website for more information. If you're not yet a member, take advantage of the sign-up bonus, and then you can take advantage of all the bells and whistles here at Capital OTB. Free PPs, and you can bet on CapitalOTBBet.com. Also, some of the promotions are limited to members, so keep that in mind as well. Again, you can find all the information at CapitalOTB.com. I'm Seth Merrill. This has been Racing Across America for Saturday, April 9th, a big Saturday of action across the country. We'll cover all of it this afternoon on OTB Live and here on the network going into the evening as well. I'll be back in a couple hours or so to kick things off. I'm going to look at a little aqueduct. We'll toss some Oaklawn into the mix. I'll look at some Keeneland as well, obviously, on day two of their spring meet. So it should be a fun afternoon. Looking forward to it. Hopefully you are as well. Appreciate your tuning in this morning. And we look forward to checking back in with you this afternoon on OTB Live. So we wrap it up, put a bow on Racing Across America for this Saturday morning, and we'll see you in a couple hours.
You're watching OTB TV, a service of Capital Off-Track Betting.